This evening we want to continue our study through 1 John as we begin to look at 1 John on Sunday afternoon. 1 John was written by the Apostle to the early church, and the Apostle John was led to write this letter to be an encouragement to the believers as well as to help them and warn them of the tactics that Satan would use to try and discourage them, undermine their faith, and make them ineffectual in sharing. Sunday afternoon we looked at the first four verses. This evening we're going to be looking at beginning at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us. Help us understand, as John gives us the message on why he's writing this letter and the importance of looking to you as the light of the world and what that means. Lord, we live in a very dark and evil and wicked world, but you are light that came into the midst of the darkness. Help us to focus on you, and may the light shine through us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday afternoon we looked at the fact that John laid out two reasons why he's writing this particular letter. The first one he stated in verse 4, and these things write we also unto you, that your joy may be made full. God desires that we walk in his joy, his peace, his hope, and that you and I experience the love of Jesus and the light of the world that he came to reveal to us, and that we don't get overcome with the darkness of this world. The second theme is what we're going to be looking at tonight. And then, as John writes in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, as you look at the world, there's so much darkness and wickedness out there that you can be overcome by it. If you don't call on the name of Jesus and look at the fact that he said, I am the light of the world. A lot of times we can think that, well, things we can fantasize and make things seem like they're better than they were years ago than they actually were. There's always been great darkness in the world. At the time that Jesus came, the Roman Empire was still at its height, and it was beginning to draw to the end of it. But as Rome was built upon the lies of Satan, there was much darkness, wickedness, and depravity in all that was going on in that empire. Even within Israel, and if you stop and think about it, Bert and I were just talking the other night, that you stop and think, and you think, well, the Jewish people shouldn't have been that way. Those of you who have been here on Sunday morning and we're going through the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah is talking about all the evil that is in Israel, and he's calling them to turn back to the Lord, and you say, how could they have become so wicked when God had revealed to them the truth? But it was the same way when Jesus came and walked upon the earth. The nation of Israel, to a large extent, viewed that their hope lie in some type of political overthrow of Rome, that they could shake off the shackles of Rome, that that's where their real problem lie, and that if they somehow could make peace with Rome or make agreements with Rome and then be able to live their life, that was a solution. The religious leaders, that's exactly what they were doing. Instead of looking to the Lord, they were trying to compromise with the world. And that's what a lot of Christians tend to think maybe the solution is, to somehow compromise the world or look to the world for the answers for our problems and issues. But I want to tell you, the world has always been a very dark and wicked place. And apart from God's breaking in throughout history, there would just be real, real wickedness. And John wants us to understand that. He's writing this letter to reveal to us the significance of Jesus' coming. He said the first thing is, as I just read in verse 5, then this message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The first thing that you and I need to realize is, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, you have the answers. You have the truth. You have the light. Now, if you look at God and the world and look at the philosophies that are found in Scripture that are based on the truth of God's Word versus what Satan's lies are, you can see, first of all, oftentimes Satan's things that he promotes are direct opposition to the truth of God's Word. And we see that in our culture all around us. And we see that, we've talked a little bit about it on Sunday, and how that God established creation, one man, one woman, the established marriage. He established the home. He said that parents should be the foundation, should lay the foundation of belief and truth for the next generations. And yet Satan attacks all of that and says, you don't need it. He talks about the fact that he created the man and woman, and that's what they are. There are only two sexes, yet Satan comes and tells all kinds of lies about that. He talks about the fact that there's to be a covenant relationship between man and woman in marriage, and that there's a hallowed and holy bond that is between them, and yet Satan attacks that and says, no, you don't need that. Everything that God presents as truth, Satan counteracts with a lie, and the sad thing is, a lot of people in the world, because of a sin nature, embrace the lies of Satan instead of turning to the truth of God. And if you look at it from the perspective of the example that the Holy Spirit gave John to reveal to us, he reveals God is light and this world and Satan is darkness. And when you go into the darkness, you can't see. And when you can't see, you get lost. And when you get lost, you don't know where you are, and you end up where you can be in great peril. That's exactly what happens when you go into the darkness of this world. You can't really see where you're going. You can't see where it's leading to you. People are so deceived that they don't even understand their own sin and their own rebellion against God and how it's destroying their lives, their relationships, and ultimately destroying them spiritually, so that they will have no eternal hope. When you walk in light, you can see where you're going. You understand what's around you. You can see and reveal to you what you are to do in given situations. And that's God's truth. And so we see that John gives us these two examples of darkness and light, and that Jesus truly is the light of the world. Well, what does that mean to us? He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, what does he mean by that? There's a lot of people that want to play charades. Have you ever played charades? And you try to get people to believe and you act something out and try and give a message to people by acting it out, but you're really not living it, you're just pretending you're doing something so that they will guess what you're doing. people like to play charades. They also like to put on masks. And by putting on masks, they don't want people to really see who they are. And they don't want people to really understand what's going on in their life. And so they put on masks and facades that hide what's really happening. And so you may see people that pretend to be happy when they have no joy. Or they pretend that this world system is something that gives them great hope when it can't give you hope because it only leads to destruction. Well, John is telling us that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you can't play charades, you can't put on masks, you can't pretend that you're something you're not. And he says, if you're a Christian, you need to reflect and reveal the light of Jesus in your life, and you don't walk in darkness. And you don't trust in the devices of this world to give the solutions to you for your life, but rather you look to the Lord. And you call on the name of the Lord, and you go according to what His Word is, and you walk in the light of His truth, not in the darkness of this world. And if we're walking in the darkness, then we need to assess what is our real relationship to Jesus. Do we really have a relationship with the Lord if we continue to walk in sin and rebellion to God? If we continue to do that which is an abomination to the Lord, and that's the things that we hold. A number of years ago, when, for example, abortion first was being promoted in our land, there were Christians that didn't see anything wrong with abortion. And part of it is they said, well, it's not up to me, and they bought the lie of the world that it's up to a woman to choose, it's her body. But if you look at there's more to it than that. It's not just her body, it's the life that's within her body when she aborts a baby, when she kills a baby. She's killing another life. And for a Christian to take a stand and be pro-abortion, pro-killing babies, is walking in darkness. And there's a whole gamut of things that we can do as Christians and beliefs that we can hold that are contrary to the Word of God. And when we lift them up and say, well, it's not so bad, we can do that, it doesn't matter, that's when you walk in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness, how can you say that you're of the light? How can you say that when God loves life so much to the point that He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay the penalty of sin, which results in death, and to take the curse off of man so that we could have eternal life, how can we have anything that would want to do with that which would promote death? And that's what John is talking about here. If you say you're a Christian, it should reflect in your life. It should reflect in your values. It should reflect in the things that you believe. It should reflect in the things that you trust. What are the things that are number one priority in a Christian's life? A number of years ago, I was listening to a man talk, and he was talking about the fact that when Jesus came, and he was speaking about the fact of the man who was possessed by the demon, and the demon was cast out of him, and the man didn't really allow anything else to come into his life. And when he didn't, then all of a sudden the demon came back, but he came back with more demons, and they possessed the man. And his example was, if you say that you're a Christian, and you say that you have given your heart to Jesus, what you're doing is you're beginning to clean your house. But are you going to really clean your house and then allow the Lord to come in and maintain it clean? Or are you going to do like a lot of us can do, and that is we clean the house except for I leave one area in my life that, well, that's my pet sin, so I'm just going to kind of hang on to that. It's really not that bad. Nobody's going to really know it. I'll just kind of hang on to that one. He said, you need to clean out every room of your house, and you need to allow the Lord to come in and live in your house, and don't allow the demons to come back, because when they come back, if you really say that you're a Christian, then Jesus is living in your life, and they can't come in. But if you want to play the game and say, I'm a Christian but continue to walk in darkness, you're allowing Satan to come back in when you said that you've cleaned the house. And it only makes it a worse mess. And so he says here, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So he's saying that the logical conclusion is if you're a Christian, you're walking in the light. And if you walk in the light, you're not going to be doing the things of darkness. You're not going to be embracing the things of darkness. They're not going to be drawing you to do them. But instead, you're going to be walking in the light. And Jesus in the Psalms tells us that he's a light unto our feet. And he enables us to see the pathway where we're to go. And so what that means is he reveals to us how we're to live. And then we still make choices. On Sunday I was talking about choices and that we have to make choices. And at the funeral that I preached at last Friday, it was kind of the theme of the message that I brought is that each one of us make choices and we need to live with the choices. They have real consequences, the choices of our life. That's what John is saying here. There's choices. The one who says, I'm a Christian, but walks in darkness, he's made a choice to say something but not live by it. And then if you say something and really don't live by it, is it really part of your life? But if you really mean it, you're going to say it, and I am a believer, and then I'm going to walk in the things of Jesus. I'm going to do the things that the Lord does. And you're going to do what Jesus wants me to do. You can think of all of the pagan tribes, and I've been listening to some of the historical content of what happened amongst the natives of America, of the Americas and Canada, and how dark they were as cultures. They were just wicked. But when Jesus came and missionaries came, and they became Christians, they didn't continue to do the things they've been doing. And they were transformed. One of the historical accounts that was given was the fact that this one tribe had just been really horrible. And the evil things they did, I don't even want to talk about the things they did. The way they treated other tribes and the way they treated one another. And when they came to know Jesus, there was a transformation in their lives. They no longer did those things. They wanted to walk in this newness of life. They wanted to walk in the light. They wanted to celebrate being set free from the darkness that they had been enslaved to. And they didn't want to go back to it. And yet today, Peter talks about it. And he says that we need to examine ourselves if we're like a dog and we return to our vomit. And if you've ever had a dog, we had one on the farm when I grew up. One of the disgusting things they do is sometimes they eat grass and then they throw it up and then they go back and re-eat it. And you're going, if it made you sick the first time, why do you want to eat it again? But there's a whole bunch of people that are like that. The things that they're involved in make them so sick, they're repulsed by them, they want to get rid of it, and then they think they've gotten rid of it, but then they return and do the same things again. John is telling us, don't do that. If you're walking in the light, walk in the light, not in darkness. And so he says here, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now the other thing is, if you walk in the light and if you truly walk in the light as a believer, you should have fellowship with other believers. And you should have a desire to be with other believers. And one of the things that is disturbing to me is how many people really don't want to have fellowship with other Christians. At least that's what it appears. Because a lot of times if people come to church, it's like the minute church is over, there's a beeline because I've got many more important things to do than sit and even have fellowship with anybody in the church and fellowship with other believers. Well, what does that tell us about where our heart is if we'd rather be running out the door, and I realize there may be times where we have to because things come up, but if it's the pattern of our life, I can think of a person that I once knew, and they had been going to a church, a Bible-believing church in town, and it was a fairly small church, and all of a sudden they were going to another church in town that was huge. And they'd been going to this other smaller church for a long time, and we saw them, and we said, well, why did you change churches? Why are you going to this big church? And she said, well, at the little church, they expected me to do things. They expected me to, when somebody died, they expected me to help the families. They expected me to come in and do things to do that. They expected me to be involved. They expected me to be involved in various things in the church and the programs and to help the people. But if I go to this really big church, I can sneak in late and I can leave early and nobody knows I've been there. And I'm going, what's wrong with this picture? There's no desire for fellowship. There's no desire to help. There's no desire to get to know one another. I was listening to another person talk today, and they were just sharing that their church that they attend, they have three different services of 300 people per service. And it sounds like, wow, that's really neat. They got a lot of people. There's like 900 people that normally attend their church on any given Sunday. But he says, there's one problem. I don't know how many of the people. Because I can't get to know them. There's three different services, so I don't know some of the people that attend the other services, and the only people I really know are the people that I have my small Bible study group with. I know them. Why? Because there's an intimate relationship. There's a fellowship that's bonding there, and the fellowship's around the Lord. But when you come in a mass group and then you're out the door because maybe I want to get home and watch football, or maybe I want to go out and play some sports, or maybe I want to drive to the lakes for the day, or maybe I've got so many other things, I don't even have time to take time to stop and talk to people about the Lord and what God's been doing in my life and ask how they're doing and finding out. Then I need to walk and see, am I walking in light or darkness? Am I walking with Jesus, or am I really being drawn by the things of the world and the things that lead to darkness? And so that's what John is talking about here. There should be a difference in our life. Then he goes on and he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, this is an example of people that are very self-righteous, and yet John's just got done talking about those that can be walking in darkness, but they say they're Christians, and what they're doing, some of these people say, well, I don't have a problem. I've got it all together, and I don't need to have fellowship. I don't need to be in the Word. I don't need to come and be taught, because I've got my life all together, and I don't have a sin problem. There are churches that actually teach that if you're really a believer in Jesus Christ, you'll never sin again. Well, that's not what the Bible says, and that's not what John's saying here. And if you begin to fall into that trap of Satan, that's another way of walking in darkness. Because one of the things that the people in the world do, a lot of times they don't even see how the wickedness that they're involved in and where it's leading. And if you're saying as a Christian, well, I never sin, what you're doing is you're saying, well, I'm above being able to be deceived by Satan. I'm above falling and having to rely on Jesus every moment of every day. And I can do things in my own strength because I don't sin. Jesus said, if you hold that view, you're lying to yourself, because we're all sinners. And we're sinners. The only difference between us and those in the world is, number one, we've been saved by the grace of Jesus, and that He's called us out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. And also, we possess His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit is there to help us walk lest we fall into sin, and enable us to walk in His righteousness and reveal to us the power that He has to transform our life and enable us to accomplish His purposes that He has laid before us. If we confess our sins, and this is where He talks about, this is the whole point of walking with Jesus. The closer we walk to the Lord, the more we see when we're in danger of sinning or are sinning. And he says, what are we to do if that happens? Now, he just got done saying, none of us are above sinning because we all sin. So what do we do about it? He says, if we confess our sins. What is confessing? Confessing is identifying with the fact that this is in my life. This is something I'm struggling with. Confessing is identifying with it and saying, yes, it's real. When someone gives a confession in court or a confession to a policeman or something, what they're doing is they're saying, yes, I did this. That is confessing to the fact. So when we confess our sins, we're going before the Lord and saying, yes, I'm struggling with this. Yes, Lord, I did that. Yes, Lord, I need help. That's confessing. And what we're doing is humbling ourselves before the Lord. We're not walking in the pride of Satan. What did Satan do? Satan not only didn't acknowledge his sin, but he even walked in sin more. The more his pride gained, he thought, well, I can rise to the position of God. I shall be God. And his pride only grew. We're not to allow sin to grow in our life, but we're to confess it. And what happens when we confess and identify that, yes, this is sin, this is rebellion in my heart, this is rebellion against God, even as a believer I do this, then what he says, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful in that he will do it, just as he said he will, and he's just in that he'll take care of it, and he'll wipe it from our record, and justice will be maintained. How? Through the blood of Jesus that we are identifying with and saying, I trust in that to remove the consequences of the sin in my life and the penalty that I should be paying, and that he will be just and he will remove it from our life. And as he says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and then what? To cleanse us from our unrighteousness. And we can walk in the righteousness of Christ and not in our unrighteousness. Then in verse 10, as we close up tonight, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And this is the same thought that Paul's going to back to where at the beginning of the study tonight, where he said, if you say you're a Christian and you walk in darkness, you got a problem. So if you say, I don't sin, then who's not telling the truth? You or God? It's you. Because Jesus said that we're all sinners, saved by grace. And we all need to be conformed more to the image of Christ every day. We need to walk closer to Jesus so we become more like him. Well, if we say that I'm not a sinner, then we see no need to walk with Jesus. We see no need to draw near to God. We see no need to walk in his light, in his marvelous light, and we can be tempted to continue to walk in darkness and say, that's just the way it is. But he's saying, no, it's not. And so we close with this, that if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, that is God, that is the Lord Jesus, a liar, and his word is not in us. So if you're truly walking in the light needs to be in you, not the darkness of this world. Because the world says they have no need of Jesus. The one who says, I don't sin, saying I have no need of Jesus. The one who says, I can continue to walk in darkness and don't have to pay any attention to the light of Jesus, is saying, I don't need Jesus. You're a liar, because we all need Jesus, or we're hopelessly lost in the darkness of our sin. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths tonight. Help us to apply these truths to our life. Help us to see the importance of walking in the marvelous light that you have brought to this world so that we can be set free from the darkness. That we no longer have to walk in the darkness of sin, but rather we can be set free to walk with you and be conformed to your image. Go with us now and give us opportunities in the week ahead to share with others and to reflect your glory and to walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 640, The Light of the World is Jesus, 640.